Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 637, The Light is Green for Halo TV, recorded live on June 28th, 2018. Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Dust Storm.
I am your co-host, Godzilla T.
And we are back for the second time this week, primarily because I won't be here next week. And plus, there was an interesting little announcement today, which we're going to cover. But, so earlier this week, we had Kairos on from the Pro Battle League, which is a region-based Halo competitive league. So I encourage you guys to go check out that podcast from earlier this week if you haven't done so already. But for today, we're going to kind of jump back into our normal format and start off with recap of this weekend's festivity. So how did we do on our Fragment Fridays, GT?
We played a lot of Warzone. We had another full lobby again. We actually were running a full team in Warzone.
Nice.
We had a lot of fun until we got stomped.
Uh-oh.
They have a couple games where it was difficult. I was having a rough night to begin with anyway, so that didn't make it any better. But we finished it off with a little bit of vehicle fiesta, and
very nice.
There was many Phaetons in the air.
And I got in the tail end of it and got to play a couple of games there. There was that one match that had a lot of air vehicles.
We had a lot of fun.
We certainly did. I'm just glad I was able to catch the tail end of it. It was a lot of fun. So cool. Keep on getting big lobbies, which is awesome. I don't know if it's hype for new Halo or whatever it is, but it's nice to see a lot of people coming over and spending time with the Podtacular crew. So to everyone that is joining, thank you very much.
For a couple of them, it's just the fact that they actually remember that the game night's going.
Do you keep getting a lot of the same people, or are there a few that kind of rotate in as new people every week?
We've got a pretty good group of regulars that show up. Occasionally, they drag in one of their friends. So it's fun. Get to meet new people.
Cool.
And so anybody and everybody is welcome to join in. All you have to do is, during game night, send me a message at Godzilla T on Xbox Live, and I'll get you invited in.
Very nice. Yeah, do it. Every Friday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time, and it usually goes on for 2 to 2.5 hours. Definitely recommend it. For me, on Sunday, I unlocked some achievements. Thanks to Ace of Spades, who's one of my friends from a long time ago. We met back in the Halo 2 Vista days. I got the Tighten Up the Graphics, which is on Halo 2 Complete, every level of Halo 2, having seen it both on Classic and Remastered. There was one mission that I hadn't done it on, so I managed to... I had to go through almost every mission except, I think, the last one, checking both graphics, and I finally unlocked that one. Got Martyrdom, which is on Halo 4 Reclaimer. Use a Wraith to kill at least 4 enemy Wraiths. So got that one. Ace helped me get Who Needs Them, which is on the Ark in Halo 3 campaign. Complete the level on Legendary without entering a vehicle. And then on my own, after the fact, I got the achievement for killing every elite on the level Keys on Heroic difficulty, which is tying up loose ends. So I got 4 achievements this weekend for 40 gamer score.
Yeah, that one, killing every elite on that mission, that you got to go hunting for some of them.
Yeah, you do. And it's almost one of those things where when you load a checkpoint, you have to kind of retrace your steps sometimes to make sure that enemies didn't spawn behind you or spawn in corridors. The place that a lot of people get tripped up on is when the room that the Banshees fly in, the hangar, there's several different corridors you have to go check after every load zone, and that can be a bit of a pain. Thankfully, I only had to go through it once. I did die a couple of times, but I was able to get on my first run, and it was all good. I think there is one exception, and that is the elites in the room with the coolant leak. I don't think you have to kill those, but I killed them just in case. But I think that's the one exception, maybe. Don't quote me on that.
No, you have to kill every elite, including the ones in that first room.
Okay. I thought there was something back when Halo CEA came out where maybe that was a glitch or something.
Master Chief Collection might be different, but in CE,
it could be.
You have to kill every single elite.
Okay. I did it just in case, just to be safe. So maybe just that would be the best.
That's where the bandana skull comes in handy, because you can just stand there and lob grenades.
Yeah. I didn't know if you could have that on or not, because it's a 0x multiplier, so I just removed that one.
The only achievements that those affect are score or time-based achievements.
Okay. Gotcha.
So as long as you're not doing one of them, you're fine.
Okay. Very nice. Thanks for the info. I believe that leaves me with either 66 or 64 achievements remaining for Master Chief Collection. Quite a significant number of them are par scores. And then all the Lazos, 2 complete legendaries in under 3 hours. I still have the one where I have to complete Halo 4 solo legendary, and then all the multiplayer ones as well. But slowly, I am making progress towards getting MCC completed. And then on my honeymoon, I will probably be doing some Spartan Assault and Spartan Strike. I'm getting a few achievements there. So that was my Sunday. I had a few people watching, so thanks to everyone who decided to come over and watch us for my Sunday achievement stream and for Fragment Fridays. And we hope to see you all for the next couple of weeks as well. Moving on to some news for the week. Not too much, but we do have a couple of things. One thing in particular today is we finally have an official announcement that the Halo TV show will be coming. After all this time, it's finally a thing. So Showtime made the announcement today in conjunction with Xbox that they're going to be working with Kyle Killen and Rupert Wyatt. Rupert Wyatt is behind Rise of the Planet of the Apes, and Kyle Killen is behind Awake. And there's a few other things that they've worked on, but they are going to be executive producing 10 episodes that are about an hour long, which production should start in early 2019. So the first season is going to be 10 episodes, and there's nothing kind of indicative of what the story is going to be, what they're focusing on, but at least we have a production start time, and we have names behind who's going to direct it. We have everything. It looks like it's actually going to be moving forward from this point forward. It only took 5 years after the announcement for something to come up about it.
We're still working on it. We swear.
Yeah, but I think there was... I mean, we've had some discussions before on how their video games to movie adaptations are always tricky and usually don't work well. And I've seen a couple other people in the community make a connection with how successful Ready Player One was to being a green light possibly for the Halo game, especially since a lot of people noticed that there were Spartans in Ready Player One. So it almost
you could have done that game without at least acknowledging Halo.
There were several things in there. I don't know if there was a Counter-Strike reference, because that's kind of a traditional hardcore PC shooter game, and I didn't see any nods to them. I'm hoping there was one and I just missed it.
Yeah, I haven't played the game, so I wouldn't... It could smack me in the face and I wouldn't see it. I still haven't seen the movie. I want to. It looks really good.
It's good. I didn't read the book, and I heard from some people that it leaves a little bit out of the book, but most movies do, because the adaptation of novel to film, you do lose some aspects of it. And I heard some people say it was kind of shallow, But then again, the book wasn't as in-depth either. But as an action movie and as a kind of CG video game-centric movie, I enjoyed it.
Well, you know, I mean, action movies aren't generally known for their deep story.
Like, Locke didn't have a deep story. Oh!
There are a lot of... But don't get me wrong, there's some action movies out there that have really, really good stories, but traditionally, you know, it's not... It's an action movie. It's about action. You know, it's about getting you excited and, you know, getting you to root for somebody. But I, you know, I really look forward to seeing it, and I'm really looking forward to this show. I just wonder what their production is going to be like. You know, like, where is it only going to be shown on Showtime, or is there going to be some other place that we can watch it?
So there's not many details out specifically on that. It's based on how, I think, episode streaming for a lot of the major networks happens these days. Is it'll premiere on Showtime, and then probably after the season's done, it'll be available on places like Netflix or Amazon Prime or Hulu, stuff like that. And then I guess if you have a cable subscription, then you can go back for like DVR or something.
Well, on it won't be on Netflix, because Netflix doesn't have any kind of contract with Showtime. On Hulu, okay, if you want to watch Showtime, you have to pay for it, pay extra for it.
Ooh.
So it's a subscription base there. And of course, if you want to watch it on cable TV, you have to subscribe to it on cable TV too. So
it might be one of those things where if they have some kind of subscription directly to the show, like iTunes usually has it to where either a day after or the hour after the episode airs, it's available to download. YouTube does the same thing. Amazon does the same thing. I'm hoping something like that will be available for this, or maybe be something like Nightfall, where you can buy the season somehow and then watch it through, dare I say, the Halo channel, or some kind of access method like that.
Well, I think if as far as putting it on the Halo channel, I don't see that happening. But I do see them maybe putting it on the Xbox Marketplace, you know, because they do video on that, and they do television shows as well. Some of them are free. Some of them you have to actually rent or buy. So we'll see. I just really hope it's available some other place than Showtime.
Sure.
Because, you know, as much as I love Halo, I'm not going to subscribe to Showtime for one television show.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. If need be, I would wait until it all came out on digital download or something and then get it or something.
But I'd also like to watch it before, you know, while it's current as well.
That's one of those deals. If there's a way to watch it and only watch that without paying an arm and a leg or without paying into a full subscription of anything, then I will likely do that. And Laird brings up a good point, which I was going to get to. CBS Studios is handling the international distribution of the series. I don't know if that means that Laird, do you know if Showtime is a subsidiary of CBS or might just be a partnership? I don't know how those networks are connected together. I don't know.
Well, if that I means do know that CBS's app where you can watch their shows is a pay for app as well. You can download the app for free, but to get anything off of it, you have to subscribe to the service.
Right. But there are some... I thought there's some like free episodes that they have on the website. Maybe that nothing might just be old current episodes or something. Yeah, okay, that might be like previous
season stuff. What I mean by not current, I mean, you know, 5 years old.
Ugh.
You know, I really wanted to watch, was it Star Trek Discovery? But the only place you can watch it is on their application, and you have to subscribe to it.
Yeah, I was in the same boat. I haven't watched it because of that reason.
You know, I watched the first episode because they put that on regular CBS, but then all the rest of them were on are on the app and I haven't watched them. And I'd like to, but...
It's sad. I hope they do something with making sure the community at large can watch the series in some fashion without being restricted to Showtime. Or having to subscribe to the Showtime complete subscription.
Yeah.
And if they're not doing that, then have it, as soon as the series is over, have it either available for download, have it available for purchase on Blu-ray or DVD or whatever. But don't leave that gap too long.
Yeah. You know, I would say that probably the best way to do it is, you know, after the show airs, it becomes available on iTunes or on the Xbox or on the Microsoft Windows Marketplace, the Windows Store. You know, if it comes to the Windows Store, I don't have a problem with that. I really don't like giving Apple any money.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of that either. So the CEO of Showtime had a little quote that he made in the... It's in every single article from the Waypoint article to... Vanity covered it, Hollywood Reporter covered it, but the CEO of Showtime... David Nevins, present CEO of Showtime, said, "Halo is our most ambitious series ever, and we expect audiences who have been anticipating it for years to be thoroughly rewarded. In the history of television, there simply has never been enough great science fiction. Kyle Killen's scripts are thrilling, expansive, and provocative. Rupert Watts is a wonderful world-building director, and their vision of Halo will enthrall fans of the game while also drawing the uninitiated into a world of complex characters that populate this unique universe." So it sounds pretty ambitious. Sounds a little overpromising.
Yep.
Based on the fact that we've been waiting 5 years for this kind of news to even surface.
At least they got the years portion right on that comment. Oh.
Yes, they did. And they said Showtime is developing Halo for more than 4 years, which, yeah, that's true. And that's about all the info specifically about the Halo TV show that we have.
I kind of wonder if it's going to launch if Infinite shows up next year. If. Are they going to acknowledge the game in the series, or is the series going to be a totally standalone thing and just tackle different parts of the universe? Which, that's, I mean, don't get me wrong, question. There's plenty of stories out there. But you have this TV show. I would find it really hard to believe that they don't use it to promote Infinite or do some type of lead up into it.
Yeah. So another reason why I think it took so long to even get this thing off the ground is trying to figure out where to even put a story that you can do in a TV-like fashion. Because in the one case, you don't want to intrude on the first-person genre game, because that's where the Halo experience has culminated for fans of the franchise.
Right.
But at the same time, you want something that's closely enough relevant to where people that are playing the games and that are interested in Halo, and for folks that aren't necessarily interested in Halo, to have that connection into the universe without being too distant. So it's there's plenty
of stories that they could tell that would lead towards Infinite.
Oh, sure. But you have to make sure that you don't go too close to it.
And that would be a fit for a weekly, you know, TV show. There's plenty of, you know, little short, or, well, things that you could divide up into short stories, like something that happens, you know, day by day, that you could break up into a story like that for television. It's just going to be really interesting to see where they go with it. And it would be nice if they'd given us a little bit of a hint of where they plan on taking the story. But I understand that, seeing they're still in pre-production, they probably don't have it completely nailed down yet.
I'd agree.
But it'll definitely be interesting to see what they go with.
Yes. 2019 will be the time for us to see what happens. And they've had almost 5 years at this point to kind of figure out a direction with what they're going. So hopefully they have something pretty locked down by now.
Well, I think the biggest part of the delay is the fact that Microsoft shut down their production studio.
Yes.
You know, their video production studio. And that's a pretty sizable setback.
It is. They had all these plans for TV shows and transmedia, and then all of a sudden, nope, we're not doing it anymore. Yeah, that was a little bit of a setback. But hey, we're getting something. At least that's what we're being told.
Because I watched a documentary that they were part of for the Atari game or whatever. I forget what it was. And, you know, that was good. It was a good show. Kind of went through the history of Atari.
Oh, okay.
And how, you know, E.T. killed Atari. No.
yeah.
But it was nice to hear that story. And I really wish they could have gone further with their studio in that respect.
Sure.
But also saying that, it could have also affected the quality of story we get for the TV series as well. Hopefully it will be worth the wait.
Well, when it's on a premier cable network and it's being done by Showtime and was it Ambient Studios, which is also the studio behind Alias and Alias was Bed Robot. There's another one I'm trying to think of. It's not coming to mind. Anyways, the Ambient Studios has made some pretty lasting TV series as well. Bobby has a comment in here on the Mixer chat, which I could see this potentially being an issue depending on how the direction of the Halo TV show goes and how the fans react to it. And he says he fears that the TV show might go the route of the Firefly series, whether because of popularity or getting canceled too early.
Oh, I honestly believe that it won't live long enough. It's going to be another Firefly.
If it's something like Nightfall, yeah.
I just don't see it being popular enough to be a regular, you know, something that goes to 100 episodes.
And that would be a lot of story for 343 to have to crank out to keep that going. And to be all lore accurate, Grimm would be working overtime just to make sure that everything lines up.
I'm sure 343 is just overseeing it. My guess is the characters in the TV show are probably characters that we've either had a passing acquaintance with or have not heard of. Because if you lock in with established characters, that limits your storytelling. Well, it doesn't really limit it. It just makes it a lot more difficult because you have to, you know, take into account this past history that this character already has and make new content, but you also need to, you know, inform your audience of this past history to a point.
Right.
Or the character doesn't make sense to people that aren't invested in the Halo universe. Now, I'm not saying that Master Chief won't be in there or some of the, you know, the different characters of the Halo series, but I think the main characters are going to be relatively new to us.
I think that probably makes the most sense to keep new viewers of coming into Halo, kind of ease them into it. And there'll probably be Master Chief references and Covenant War references, that kind of stuff. But I think that also gives the avenue towards people that are already ingrained in the Halo franchise another avenue to explore. Because the books are great. They have a lot of good supporting structure to the Halo franchise, the Halo universe overall. So it's just finding another niche like that that can work well in a TV show format versus a novel format.
But pretty much any one of the Halo books would make a good movie. You know, some better than others, but most of them would translate to the big screen pretty easily and of course, we're biased because we enjoy the series.
Right.
I think it would be, you know, good to see, as long as they didn't pull the Fall from Reach trick.
The what?
You know, I get the cartoon. You had to condense it for a new audience. But when you flat out change facts from the book, that just...
Yeah.
The one that gets me the most in that particular instance is the section where John has the fight in the gym. In the book, John's just defending himself. The ODSTs were the aggressor. In the cartoon, anime, whatever you want to call it, John was the aggressor, and the ODSTs were defending themselves. Just the whole tone of the way they filmed that changed the meaning of the scene.
Was that one of the two, though, that they said was lore accurate? Or that were... Because there are only two of the Legends animes that they said were canon.
This wasn't one of the Legends ones. This is one that they released shortly before Halo 5. Oh, is this the Fall of Reach?
This is the Fall of Reach anime.
The animated series or whatever they called it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that. Where they basically took the book Fall of Reach and turned it into a cartoon. A very abbreviated cartoon, which I understand. I get it. You've got a lot of story to tell in a very few episodes. But don't go in and change major things like that.
I'm going to go on a big stretch here just for the sake of going on this big long stretch. But it could have played into the propaganda behind Hut the Truth.
It could have.
It's a stretch. But
if they were going for that, they should have done it a much different way.
Agreed. I was just throwing a long one out there. That animated series was not that good. Sorry, Kiki, but Nightfall and the Fall of Reach Animated... Forward Under Dawn was great.
Yeah, they did an awesome job with Forward Under Dawn.
Nightfall and the Fall of Reach Animated series...
The production of Nightfall was great. The story was crap.
Agreed.
You know, I felt more invested in the supporting characters than I did the main character.
Yes. I mean, Spartan Randall Aiken was the star of that show.
I felt more for him than I did Locke.
Same. Especially after he sacrificed himself.
Well, I was really invested in him before they even got that far.
Oh, me too.
You know, I knew coming into it that, you know, just the way they set up the character, that he probably was going to sacrifice himself in some way. I didn't suspect he would be doing it or be, you know, setting off a nuclear bomb, but hey.
Yep.
It just, I don't know.
So, TV show begins production in 2019. Who knows what the story is going to be about, other than 343, Showtime. But there you go. That's the big news for today. A couple other small things that we have. Someone remade, well, not remade, but made a version of Space Invaders for the 40th anniversary of the Atari Classic. And it is wasps that are forge glued to the aliens, what they look like. And then there's a TV kind of in a wall in a room. And then the TV obviously looks out into a giant room with the aliens that are, or the space invaders that are coming down. So it's a pretty cool little mini game.
Mm-hmm. That's the second one I've seen that, you know, where somebody was taking an old video game and adapted it to Halo 5. And this last Friday, we played Duck Hunt. Regular duck, you know, classic Duck Hunt.
And fun fact, this was made by Spartan Blood 1, who made Duck Hunt in Halo 5. So it's the same forger.
Yeah, and that is just a blast. You know, it pays homage to the original game, but still feels new.
Someone tweeted this to Tom French, one of the 343 employees. I forget if it was Frankie or someone else. But he said, yeah, we were playing it in the playtest room. It broke my brain. So even Tom French was impressed.
Yeah. It really is amazing what these forgers are coming up with.
So do you remember the Vidoc that Bungie made when they first announced Forge for Halo 3 and they had the line in there about not knowing what the community could create with Forge and just having a totally open canvas to play with?
Not really.
It might have been Etu Brute or something like that. I forget what the title's called. Laird probably knows off the top of his head. But I kind of feel that's the case with the Halo 5 Forge. It's you have all these tools available at your discretion, and people just have to figure out a way to tweak it just right to do something as crazy as making Space Invaders in Halo.
Yeah. I mean, you take a look at what we had in Halo 3 and what they were able to do with that. And everybody was awestruck what they were able to accomplish in Halo 3. And now you look at Halo 5 and you're like, and you look back at Halo 3 and you're like, how did they pull off half the stuff they did in Halo 3 without all these tools that they have now?
Especially the merging technique.
Oh, yeah.
That was nuts. I mean, Griffball and MLG used the heck out of that.
Well, the racers did, too. That's how they made smooth racetracks.
And the hours that you spent on just doing a map.
Yeah.
Forget all the scripting and merging and timers and all the stuff that you have in the Halo 5 Forge now. It's gotten, for a tool that is console only, Forge, I think, is probably the most complex and feature-rich map editor, map and game mode editor, out of any game on console.
Kind of makes me wonder what they're going to do for Halo Infinite.
They're building a brand new engine. Who the heck knows? Lots of possibilities. And I mean, finally,
we may actually have the ability to, I guess probably the easiest way to put it is render a map. You know, instead of
maybe
it having to load each individual piece, it loads the map like it does a dev map.
The only concern that would have is because the way Forge is done today, you can, all you're really taking is positional data and some metadata now with Halo 5. You'd be having to download an entire map if that was the case. Now,
well, like
they
I said,
did that for Halo 2 Vista, so you could leave it up to someone to choose whether or not they want to download a map like that, or maybe just download a standard Forge-like map, so you could just give people the option.
Well, I'm thinking more for, you know, like when a map gets submitted to be part of the matchmaking. You know, there are Forge maps out there that have bad lag, and it's because of Forge maps. It's because all that positional data that they have to, that the servers have to deal with. There are all kinds of collision issues, and then you have frame rate drops.
Right, so you're adding extra positional data that has to be used in calculations, but I think the issue more is the graphical interpolation of that data in real time. I think that's where the lag comes from. I don't think it's anything necessarily on the server end.
Well, it has to be on the server end because that's where the information's coming from.
But, I mean, from the lag perspective, that's mostly on the client side of having to render all the additional information that it has to deal with. You're not getting lag of receiving battle data, I guess. Like bullet data, grenade data, all that kind of stuff. That's, you're not getting lag from that. You're getting lag from the graphical elements to display the custom pieces that aren't part of the standard map.
Well, like I said, maybe we'll get the opportunity to be able to, like I said, the best word I can say is render. Render a map so that it's treated like a dev map to where we don't have those issues. Because on the dev maps, lag is not a problem. Not like on certain Forge maps.
Right. It's an interesting prospect, for sure.
But it will definitely be interesting to see what happens.
Definitely.
I'm sure they're going to blow our minds again.
Yes. Tom French is behind the wheel for multiplayer all the way forward, and he has some crazy ideas as it is already, so it would not surprise me in the least. Last little bit of news that we'll cover for today is Steve Downe's birthday. The voice behind the Master Chief. So happy birthday, Steve. Hopefully we'll have you on this podcast one of these days. At least that'd be cool.
Be cool if we get him and Jen Taylor on at the same time.
I think that would cause a disturbance in the Halo slip space domain something. Insert Halo reference here.
A guardian may show up.
Yes. In more ways than one. Get 343 coming on my front, knocking on my front door. Like, we did not permit this to happen. It's only allowed in the studio. It's like, sorry. That would be cool, though. If we could get, I mean, either one of them on, and heck, if we got both of them on at the same time, that would be insane. My mind might explode. Happy birthday, Steve. Thanks for all the work you do on being Master Chief. And we can't wait to see what's going to happen in Halo Infinite with Chief. And yeah, if you're listening to this somehow, hit me up. You have my card somewhere. I have your old card that has your radio studio stuff on it, so I can't get a hold of you anymore. I guess there is Twitter. That's going to wrap it up for us tonight, ladies and gents. Thanks for dealing with the two podcasts this week, and thanks for everyone over on the Mixer channel. Looks like we got a few people on talking tonight, so that is wonderful to see you guys over here supporting the show. Make sure you check us out on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern time for those that are listening to the show via download. We do record these live on Twitch and Mixer at 9 p.m. on Thursdays, normally. And then we have our Fragment Fridays on Friday, as the name implies, at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. Goes for about 2 to 2.5 hours. GT runs it, and as you heard earlier in the show, usually starts with Warzone and kind of goes into customs, depending on the party size and what everyone wants to do for the night. I will not be doing my Sunday stream for the next week because I will be on honeymoon. No podcast next week either, so you guys have a week off, which is one of the reasons why we doubled up this week on the show. And we'll be back the following week then for the podcast and my Sunday stream. But I believe, GT, you're going to be streaming and playing both Fridays upcoming, correct?
Yes. Well, you know, unless the world comes to an end or something, I don't know.
You said that last week, too.
Like I said, you know, as long as nothing major pops up, we'll be streaming.
And you can also check us out on social media. We are on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitch, Mixer, Spartan Company, Xbox Club, all that fun stuff. You can just search for PodTackler and you will find it, or do podtackler.com/whatever it is, and it will take you there as well. We also are part of a podcasting network that is dedicated mostly to gaming-specific shows, which includes Podcast 76, Critcast, Guardian Radio, A Learning Cliff, Work in Progress, and How to Murder Time. You can find out more about them over at thepodcast.com. Also, if you're looking for some Achilles helmet help, then we do have a couple of slots in our Spartan Company. As we mentioned in our last episode, we had to clear out about 20 people from our company because of inactivity. So we have 19 slots right now available for you to come on over and help us out. You're still needing 20 of the kill masteries. We have two close ones. Our quickly kill three or more enemies, which is there no one else? We still need another 268 to go. And we have hijacking or skyjacking with another 102. Those are the closest two ones that we have. Have seen some people on Twitter say they're going and doing the marine kills, so thank you very much for everyone that's helping out with those. Really appreciate the help. And that is it for us tonight. Thanks everybody for tuning in on the live stream or downloading the show. We really appreciate it. Please go leave us a review on iTunes. That helps other people know that we are still alive and kicking and still relevant. Really appreciate the feedback. And we'll catch you guys on the flip side, either on Fragment Fridays for the next couple weeks, or we'll be back in 2 weeks for another episode of the show. For GT and myself, have a good night, everybody, for those listening, and to everyone else that is listening to Beta Download, keep on fragging them trucks.